Welcome to Decoding the Customer. I'm your host, Julia Allfelt. Before the age of the customer, businesses were geared to maximize profits, squeeze costs, mitigate risk, and fulfill their own commercial needs, not look after customers. As consumers became more informed and connected, companies recognized that they had to live up to their brand promise and stay on top of rapidly evolving customer preferences in order to survive. When this realization happened and the new business imperative landed on organizations, they were woefully unprepared. Many responded by establishing customer advocacy teams, often stemming from customer insights or client care functions. But as leaders began to grasp the scope and scale of what is required to design, manage, and track the customer journey, these responsibilities gradually moved up the org chart. Ultimately, some businesses came to the conclusion that a customer advocacy function had to sit at the most senior level of leadership in order to drive strategic decision-making and keep silos in check. And thus, the role of chief customer officer was born. This role is still very new to most executive teams. A 2014 study showed that 10% of U.S. Fortune 500 companies had a chief customer officer, and that 22% of Fortune 100 companies had this role. So clearly, the market leaders acknowledged the importance of creating an executive position with a customer mandate. The prevalence of chief customer officers has only continued to expand. A 2017 study of the UK market by Teleco shed some light on the rate of growth. Their report shows that there were only 14 chief customer officer roles in the UK as of 2014, but that the number had risen to 90 by 2017. That's a remarkable 640% increase over the course of 3 years. This leadership trend is gradually catching on in the developing world as well. In September 2017, I interviewed Michelle Bitar, the chief customer officer of the South African mobile phone company, Cell C. Michelle is Cell C's first chief customer officer and one of only a handful of people in South Africa to hold this title. Michelle has a career track record of senior leadership roles. Before joining Cell C, she was the CEO of Experian South Africa. And while she wasn't a customer experience specialist per se, she has been a vocal advocate for the customer. So this role was a natural fit. Before we jump into my conversation with Michelle, I wanted to provide a little extra context for international listeners who may not be familiar with the competitive landscape of mobile carriers in South Africa. Prior to Cell C's launch in 2001, the industry had been dominated by two main players, MTN and Vodacom. Cell C entered the market as a brand that offered value for money and positioned itself as a champion for the consumer. While it's still smaller than both MTN and Vodacom, Cell C has eaten away at the giant's market share and proven itself to be a formidable challenger. Theirs is a story of David versus Goliath, and by appointing one of South Africa's first chief customer officers, Cell C has demonstrated its agility and responsiveness.
Michelle, thank you for taking the time to speak with me. The role of chief customer officer is still very new to the business world. But when we look at other markets such as South Africa, we see that only a handful of the most innovative and forward-thinking companies have created an executive role with the customer mandate. You are one of South Africa's first chief customer officers, and I'm very excited to hear your insights about this role.
Super. Thanks, Julia. I'm very excited to be a chief customer officer, so equally keen to share.
Wonderful. So given that this is something that's so new, it's probably still unfamiliar for many. Can you give me your definition of the chief customer officer title?
It's a difficult one. I think it'll be different in different businesses, but actually, I like to think about it as kind of where culture meets strategy. I think it's well recognized in organizations across the globe that what will differentiate us is service.
There's commoditization of so many things that
really setting yourself apart in terms of how you treat the consumer or the business, depending on who your customer is, will be the thing that sets you up for growth. That is not achievable if you don't have a culture that embraces that and you don't have a mandate within the organization to really go after it. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day and wondering if you didn't have a chief customer officer, how do you actually move the boat forward on this agenda? And I think it's so difficult because as difficult as it may be to manage a cultural transformation and inculcate this customer-centric behavior across a business. Imagine if you now, as a CEO, trying to get all your executives to do this and the next layer down and the next layer down. So really, for me, it's that. It's about how to put the customer at the center of that agenda. And in my role, it's very simple, how to make it very visible on a daily basis. We have put in every boardroom a Macassar. We remind people that if you sit in this chair, you represent the customer, that in every conversation that we're having, we mustn't get absorbed into the way we do things and the way we think about things, but we must actually think about how that affects the customer and whether or not it's actually going to be a benefit to him or her.
Yeah. Do you think we'll look back in 5 or 10 years and wonder what we did before there were chief customer officers?
We
look back and wonder what we did before smartphones, you know, can't imagine life without.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've already looked back and wondered why I've, in previous lives, career lives, if I can call it that, where that mandate has sat. And often you found that companies run an annual survey to understand how they're doing with their customer. And they give this to a fairly junior administrative type role to say, please go and administer the survey and then give us feedback. And, oh, yes, then we'll kind of pick 3 things that we're going to do, or we will go send an account manager out to go and talk to the client to say, oh, we've heard you, here's what we're going to do. But we didn't put it front and center of the agenda. And I think that we missed a massive opportunity.
What do you think was the catalyst for bringing this to the front of the agenda and creating such a senior level role with the customer
in this organization,
or just in general in the business world? What do you think causes this change? What caused the chief customer officer to become a thing?
I think consumers have so much more choice today, and they are so much better informed. You know, you can pick up your mobile phone and device and you can find a plethora of suppliers, whereas before it might have depended on a relationship that was very much one-to-one. So how do you stand out in there? Marketing spend only goes so far, but once you've attracted the customer in, the reality is they still have the choice to switch, and the choice to switch for me is so much easier today than it was many years ago. So it's really that standout. How do we differentiate? How do we think also in a digital world? If we just digitize, if we just display our inner workings to the consumer as our inner workings, it's not particularly customer centric. So how do you transform that into something that looks beautiful and is attractive to a consumer and makes their experience simple?
Is this something that is different in developing economy context or not?
No. I actually think it's ubiquitous. I think it's the same.
I mean, you're one of just a few chief customer officers in South Africa. Why do you think it's been slower to happen here?
I actually think probably because of the digital world. I think that digitization and the adoption of internet technologies has been, well, we're catching up, although very fast. So I think that has put it at the forefront, this whole information economy and the ability to understand you and personalize a service to you.
So given that very few people have this job title as previous experience listed on their CV or their resume, what does it take to be a chief customer officer? What kinds of skills do you need?
Again, a difficult question, because I think that I like to think that the things that I've done in my career have kind of culminated in this. And that background is HR and then sales and marketing management and then general management, managing other organizations. So I think you've got to have strong business acumen. You've got to understand people as well, because there's this absolute, you know, sort of golden thread between employee engagement and servicing the client well. So you've got to be able to lead and transform and change cultures and engage people. And you've got to understand the business impact. So, you know, and more and more with digital and those type of, and with the expectation that you're going to personalize for me, you're going to understand me as a consumer, you've also got to understand things like data. So it's a plethora of skills. I think people will come to the role from very different angles and will, as a result, will bring different things to them. But there's also a little bit of bloody-mindedness required in the role, because you're not in charge of everything that you're trying to influence.
Yeah. So you've got to be a bit of a diplomat. And how do you get the rest of the organization involved and behind you? And, you know, how do you lead that transformation?
Are there any particular skills from your professional background in particular that you find yourself leveraging quite a bit that you think, oh, I'm really happy that I learned that in my career. I've got that in my toolbox.
I think in understanding what technology mm-hmm. and what data can do for you, and then this employee engagement for me, those are skills that I've drawn on probably more so than others in this particular role.
How does an organization know if it's ready for a chief customer officer or a senior customer experience leadership position for that matter? So I guess we don't have to say just a chief customer officer. It could be a director of customer experience or a very yeah. senior level role. And what is kind of the typical progression of maturity to being ready to have the chief customer officer role?
So I'm now a convertee. I actually don't think any business should not have the role in some way, shape, or form. Even if at it's an embryonic stage and maybe you can't afford that single title, somebody in your exco team with clout should be the person who's constantly reminding and driving this customer agenda. I don't think organizations will thrive. They may survive, but will they thrive without putting the customer at the center of everything they do? Not convinced any longer.
They probably would look back after having established such a role and think, oh, geez.
Why didn't we do it?
Yeah, what did we do before this?
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if an organization is thinking about establishing a senior leadership role in a customer experience function, how could an organization set itself up for success in that process? What kinds of preparations would they maybe
so
want
I think
to do?
The very most important thing is support from the top. I mm-hmm. think it has to be on the CEO's agenda. So it's got to be led from there. And one of the reasons my job is so much easier because I have a CEO who is absolutely passionate about customer service and sort of responds to client complaints himself when they come to him. So that's an absolute necessity. I think you have to understand where you're at and what you're trying to achieve. So very basic programs, NPS programs, a lot of organizations have done, but actually starting to take those seriously and understand what it is that your client is telling you, and voice of the customer, actually being serious about getting that customer feedback rather than just relying on an annual survey.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, some of those things you can put in place in anticipation of creating the role and make them part of the measurement of the success of the business. If it's not that, we all know what gets measured gets done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If it's not measured, it won't get done.
So reflecting on your personal experience, it's been nearly a year that you've been in this role. Has it absolutely flown by?
It has absolutely flown by. Mm,
I can imagine. What achievements are you most proud of?
I am most proud of the fact that we have, on an absolute regular basis, we've moved NPS up across the business. That is a tangible thing you can point to, because one of the challenges of the role is there is no silver bullet. There's no one thing that you can go, oh, we did this, and look at it, it's wonderful. Sure, you can change a journey, you can change an experience, and you can create those moments of wow, and that will obviously have an impact. But chasing a great customer experience and a great service culture relies on you doing hundreds of little things well. So NPS was a great manifestation of that. The other thing I'm really proud of is that we've actually got the organization talking about it. It's no longer a case of, oh, you know, oh, somebody's going to come along and they're going to talk about the customer journey. It's part of the conversation. What does the journey look like? How's this going to impact the client? Are we actually ready to take something to market? Because is the client going to have the best possible experience? So I think that, you know, those things sound like small things, but they're not always easy to achieve. So
yeah.
I am very proud of where we're at from that perspective.
Can it be sometimes a little overwhelming with all of these things? I mean, you step into a role and you realize how many things need to change, and there's no silver bullet, and there's actually many small and medium sized changes that need to happen. Can that become quickly overwhelming?
It can. And I think what we've tried to do, I've used a very simple mechanism with my direct reports to say, so we meet on a weekly basis, and every week we end our sort of operational meeting with, what have you done to move the boat forward? So recognizing that there may be a rule or a process that needed changing, and just making sure we do that, and that we can all point to something that we've achieved during that week that moves the boat forward in my language, is really important to us.
So celebrating the small wins along the way. And
recognizing that, yeah. And yeah. I think, you know, you asked about what else we're proud of, what else I can point to as a success. I was fortunate to inherit a Voice of the Customer program when I joined the organization. But it tended to be quite fluffy, and everyone sort of sat around and felt very good because they're talking about how the customer felt about something, but actually it wasn't tangible. We couldn't see it moving forward. So we've made that, you know, and customer experience is a really interesting thing, because people can think it's the soft, fluffy thing, but you can really talk down to kind of hard, tangible measurables. And that's what we've done in our Voice of the Customer. So we've built out our life cycle, broke it down into the different kind of main component journeys, and now we've broken that down into the different moments of truth or measurables within those journeys. And now we're measuring on a monthly basis in each part of the journey how we're doing. And we only talk about where we still need to improve, and then we actually take action. So it's become much more actionable than it was up front. So very pleased about that too.
And then that's something that where you can also drive accountability, and then customer experience is no longer just the responsibility of a customer experience team.
Yes.
It's actually everybody's responsibility, even though it may not be formally in their job title. If you're in the sales team, for example, customer experience is still your responsibility. So
absolutely,
that forum then becomes a platform for driving that accountability.
And those people now sit in the Voice of the Customer meeting, and they feel part of this bigger thing. And so,
so there's more kind of camaraderie and pride around it.
Yeah,
which is,
what I've very quickly discovered is, you know, customer experience is everything. It can become the dumping ground for all the problems. Oh, we'll just give it to customer experience. They'll solve this, right? And so you have to push the accountability back to the department or the business unit who is responsible for that, and make them feel it's part of they own it and that they can contribute. So when you celebrate the movement of NPS, as an example, it's not what customer experience has done, it's what we've all done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Were there any areas that presented a steep learning curve for you or your team as you stepped into your role?
You know what? Maybe not steep learning curve, but really surprising, and probably steep learning curve. So journey maps, while they appear simple, are actually quite complex to get to the simple. So getting people behind the fact that it needs to be really simple. And so very few people, even though they all understood what it was, could actually articulate what the journey really looked like. And then more surprising was the fact that when you asked people, even in customer-centric roles, even in customer service roles, to put themselves in the shoes of a consumer and walk through the process, they got completely entrenched in how we talk about it as an organization. Mm-hmm. And so I was really surprised by that.
Yeah.
It was very difficult to get people to put themselves in the consumer's shoes.
It's a very difficult mindset to change, particularly for team members that aren't customer facing.
Yeah.
For those who are 2 or 3 degrees removed from the customer, it can be a real challenge to step out of the granularity and to not get lost in the infinite detail and minutia of your responsibilities and the inner workings of the organization.
Yes.
And actually pull yourself out of that and understand what you're doing and what that contributes to.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that would be surprising.
Yeah, and all the terminology that businesses use themselves that actually mean nothing to a client. So how do you remove that from your verbiage and start to speak the language of the consumer again?
Do you find teams are starting to do that, that they're starting to use the language of the consumer?
I am, and I think one of the things that has helped is actually depersonalizing it. So not saying, Michelle, how would you do that? But creating those personas and making it a bit of fun. So the persona, you know, is single mom, lives in this area, da-da-da-da-da. They have some fun in being a little bit creative there, and they actually find it so much easier when they're talking about someone else as a persona rather than themselves.
Mm.
Really interesting, but I would have thought the opposite, but
that's
been my experience, yeah.
So do you have any words of wisdom for someone else out there who is about to start a new customer experience senior leadership role, possibly somebody who's about to start a new chief customer officer role? Any thoughts or tips, advice from your side?
Yeah, I think you've got to get everyone speaking the same language. So I think one of the things that we did really well right up front was develop the customer life cycle and then hang everything off that. So that's, we're all talking about the same part of the journey. We're all using the same language. So that's the one thing. Obviously, data, and what you can do with it and getting the best possible view of what you have available as early as possible is great, and getting the support on that, I think, is something I would absolutely say. And then don't become the dumping ground. You know, the data thing, coming back to some of those hard measures and sort of KPIs and getting those pushed back into the rest of the organization as quickly as possible is also really useful, just to give yourself some breathing space to step back. Otherwise, it can become overwhelming because there's no silver bullet, because there are hundreds of things that have to be fixed every single day.
Yeah, and if you don't do that, you could suddenly find yourself doing everybody's job. You can't do that.
I certainly made that mistake. You know, there was a point in time where I suddenly realized, oh, there's a few things here that don't really belong to me. Let's push them back. And putting those dashboards in place and getting the buy-in and whatnot has helped considerably.
I'm sure that was just an adjustment period for the organization too, in terms of, right, what is this role and how do we integrate this into what we do, and sort of some adjustments there.
So, I mean, I think it wasn't a train smash by any stretch of the imagination. It was just a realization, you could get into big trouble if you don't push the accountability out across the business.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for taking the time to chat with me. This has been wonderful and very insightful.
Thanks, Julia. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to my interview with Michelle Bitar. Michelle is a pioneer in her field, and I hope that her insights will inspire other organizations to establish executive customer experience functions. For more information about this episode, or to subscribe to Decoding the Customer, please visit my website, julia-allfelt.com.